Welcome to the Weekly Green, a KXCI mini-program on environmental topics from southern Arizona and the rest of the universe. We're joined by Greg Corman, a sculptor and landscape designer in Tucson. Welcome, Greg.
Thank you.
And Greg's specialty is to build sculptures as habitats for wild animals. What kind of wild animals?
I started out by making habitats for native bees. We have about 800 species of native bees in Tucson, and many of them use tunnels in dead trees as nesting habitat. And the sculptures are to simulate that. These are wood sculptures with tunnels in them that these bees use to put in small cells that have their babies in them. They're made so that they appeal to people on a visual level, but they also have an important environmental aspect to them, too, in terms of supporting our native bees.
What first interested you in taking this line of art?
I was introduced to native bees by a native bee expert here in town, a guy named Dr. Stephen Buckman, and he brought some bee nesting habitats with him to a meeting one time, and they were just plain blocks of wood with holes in them. And I liked the concept, but I said, well, couldn't these be made into artwork as something more interesting? And he said, well, I don't see why not. So that kind of got me going in the whole idea of this sculpture as wildlife habitat.
Would your honeybee habitats be interesting to beekeepers, or are they just for wild bees and you don't harvest the honey?
Correct. They are for wild bees only. Honeybees are native to Europe. They're not a native North American bee. They also are colonial species, so they'll live in places that are big enough to house 30 to 50,000 individuals, so they need big spaces. These bee houses or bee nesting blocks that I'm making have individual tunnels in them about the size of a pencil. And so it's impossible for honeybees to use them, which is a good thing, because honeybees are the ones that are aggressive and that people have issues with stinging. The native bees are solitary and they're virtually stingless. To get one to sting you, you'd really have to grab it and squeeze it. And then you might not really feel it anyway. Their sting is very mild. From an environmental standpoint, the native bees are much more important here in the Sonoran Desert than honeybees are. And in fact, if honeybees disappeared from our environment, it would have no effect on the native plants, but it would, of course, have a big impact on a lot of plants that are human foods, like citrus and pomegranate and things like that.
So native bees are pollinating the native plants.
Correct.
And the introduced species, the honeybees, are pollinating the introduced species of plants.
Primarily, yes. They do go to some natives as well, but primarily their importance is for non-native species of plants, like citrus, pomegranate, and a lot of other crops or exotic landscape plants.
Do you coordinate with people who grow native crops so that they have a habitat in their direct vicinity to have their plants pollinated?
I don't, but native bees are used for pollination in crops like almonds and things like that, where they bring in massive boxes of these native bees to do the pollination. My interest mostly, because my focus is mostly Tucson and the desert southwest, is getting homeowners to put these native bee boxes in so that they get the pollination that's required from bees that would normally be using dead trees in the landscape as their nesting habitat. Because we remove dead trees from most urban gardens for aesthetic or safety reasons, these bees have very few places to nest. And so these bee nesting habitats are to provide a place for these bees to reproduce.
And if I'm a homeowner and I put one of your sculptures in my yard, I don't have to be scared of these bees because they don't sting.
Correct. And in fact, I recommend when people buy these from me that they put them as close to their outdoor patio eating area as they can so that they can actually watch these bees going back and forth to these boxes, because they don't go to human foods. They're not bothered at all by people or pets. So you can have them just a couple of feet away from your head. You just won't have any problems with them at all.
Apart from bees, what other animals do you accommodate?
I'm doing sculptures that are raptor sculptures, raptor perches that large birds and basically any birds can use as places to rest and sun and observe their surroundings. If you've watched things like Gamble's quail, a male will go sit up somewhere high while its family is feeding below, and so they like things that they can get up onto. So these perches are valuable for them as observation spaces. There's a lot of other birds that use perches. What's really fun is watching a group of Harris's hawks land on one of these things in a family group of maybe up to five birds on one of these perches. It's just terrific.
You work with habitats for raptors or perches for raptors. Do you also do bird houses for other birds?
Yes, I've been making houses for screech owls, which also work for American kestrels. And I just followed directions from Tucson Audubon Society. They have great instructions for creating boxes. They have to be the right sort of dimensions in the right sort of hole to attract either kestrels or screech owls. I used some old crates that I had, and I made a face for them and put a hole in following their instructions, and the owls started using them right away. I mean, I hung them up and there were owls in them within weeks. They've had a couple broods in them now, so they'll have four or five babies that they hatch out of these boxes, and the babies hang around for a few weeks once they're big enough to fledge and get out of the boxes, and then they take off and the parents stay around and use the boxes in the off season for roosting during the day.
So I could actually put up some of these boxes in my backyard to attract birds.
Correct. The desert isn't a place where a lot of birds use boxes, but kestrel, western screech owl, Lucy's warbler, and a couple of the flycatcher species will use them. It's not like the Midwest or the East where you get a lot of different birds using boxes, but there are a few that use them. But again, it's really important to follow the specifications so that the hole size is correct and the distance off the ground is right and things like that.
Which you could find at the Audubon site.
Correct. TucsonAudubon.org.
You do anything for snakes?
I do a lot of snake habitat at my own house because I like snakes, and I've been using piles of discarded wood that's leftovers from my projects. I make decorative piles out of them, so they're sculptural, but they're really basically made as snake and lizard habitat.
What kind of snakes?
I've gotten five species of snakes on my place so far. Things like coach whips, diamondback rattlesnake, king snake, long-nosed snake. I like seeing them, and I'm always aware of them in my workspace, so I feel comfortable having them around.
Where can we see your sculptures?
I've got work at the Desert Museum, Tehunichul Park, Phoenix Zoo, Albuquerque Zoo has some of my work, the Boyce Thompson Arboretum. I've got work at a lot of arboreta and museums around, and also at my studio on the west side of town, and I sell work through Harlow Garden Center and a couple other retail places in Tucson.
Are there more artists that you know that do the same kind of work?
There are several across the country and then some in the UK and Australia that I know of. There's a woman named Lynn Hull who's been doing a lot of work with raptors and also doing water features for animals and washes and things like that. And a guy named Jesse Hull in Florida. So there's several other artists that are doing this. But it is sort of an unusual pursuit. It got me thinking more about what the possibilities are for using artwork as kind of a conduit for getting people interested in nature. Most people, when they hear about bees, their first impression is ick or no, I can't be near them. But when they see these bee habitats, people are interested in them as art pieces, and it gives you the opportunity to start the discussion about native bees and why they're important. And most people don't even know they exist. They know about honeybees. They might know about carpenter bees, which are those great big black ones. But beyond that, people aren't really aware of them. So the bee habitats I see as an introduction to insects that people might not pay attention to. And because they're colorful things and they can be made very whimsical and they're inexpensive to make, they're great do-it-yourself projects that parents can do with kids. I consider these bees like gateway bugs for kids. It's a great way to introduce children to insects where their first impression might be ick, but once they start watching these things, it really opens the door to looking at a lot of other things and having them not being repelled by these things, but fascinated by them. They're great ways to observe things that you might not normally see and just have that little bit of nature in your life that, to me, is very satisfying. And I think for a lot of people, getting a bit more nature is a really good thing.
Do you also teach?
I teach classes at Tehunichul Park. Most of them, though, are actually aimed at adults. But I've taught workshops on how to make bee habitats, and I have information on my website about making them as well. So if parents are interested, they can either call me or email me for that information or just look on my website.
And the website is cormanart.com, and the telephone number?
603-2703.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Thank you, Dan.